A Christian approach to issues of sexual identity. Does gender dysphoria stem from deeply rooted dissatisfaction with life?
We need to be very careful as Christians to not say something that isn't true about our own lives, which is, I am totally satisfied. I'm not. Now, I've been a Christian for years and years and years. I read the Bible, I teach the Bible, and I cannot tell you right now that I still don't kind of look in other areas that are probably not really great areas to get satisfaction.
On the feature today, an excerpt from a speech detailing a Christian approach to issues of sexual orientation and gender identity in the education system. In the news, ARPA is out with a new policy report on bullying in schools. We take an in-depth look at the annual ARPA fall tour that gets underway this week, and Parliament's Heritage Committee has started hearings on this spring's so-called anti-Islamophobia motion, M103.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
ARPA is out with a new policy report. This one is entitled, Protect Them All. And it deals with anti-bullying policies in schools.
Over the past year, ARPA has been quite concerned to see that many of the provinces in Canada are imposing on all schools, including our independent Christian schools, an idea or a philosophy of bullying and student protection that's actually fundamentally unjust and certainly informed by un-Christian ideology. And so we've been working to develop a response to that, a response that both notes that bullying is sinful, it's wrong, it's intolerable, but that we can have a distinctly Christian approach to dealing with it that is going to protect more people. In fact, it'll protect all students equally.
Law and Policy Director Andre Schouten says the policies that are being proposed in most provinces are based largely on prohibiting bullying based on so-called identifiable characteristics, things that are outlined in provincial human rights codes, such as race, gender, or sexual orientation.
If we're looking at bullying through that lens and only at those identifying factors, then we're going to be blind to real types of bullying that might go in the opposite direction. And we're going to be blind to the types of bullying that's happening that doesn't fall neatly within this long list of categories of, you know, race or religion or sexual orientation or gender identity or gender expression. They miss things like grades, socioeconomic status, body image, or hair color, perhaps. Red-headed children usually get bullied more often than other children.
Schouten says the policy report proposes a different way of looking at the issue of bullying, going even beyond an overly simplistic Christian worldview on this.
Christians are going to look at bullying and they're going to say all of this at its root is failing to embrace the other as an image bearer of God. And furthermore, the distinctly reformed approach would be to take cues from our Heidelberg Catechism, especially when it's dealing with the Ten Commandments and those commandments dealing with interpersonal relationships. It's not only do not kill or do not murder, it's not only do not lie, but there's a flip side to it as well. It's promote your neighbor's honor and reputation as best you can. Do whatever you can to promote the well-being of those around you. So it's going to be very positive. It's going to encourage and grow a community that's safe, that's loving, that's encouraging.
We link to a full copy of the report from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. The annual ARPA fall tour is underway. It started yesterday in Winnipeg. There's 20 stops planned before it wraps up on October 20th in Nearlandia, Alberta. The theme of this year's tour is Who is Sovereign? ARPA Executive Director Mark Penninga says a lot of work has gone into making the presentations engaging and practical.
Our goal is that everybody leaves educated, equipped, and encouraged. And for this tour in particular, it will mean learning about a Supreme Court of Canada case that deals with church discipline, as well as laws being passed in provincial legislatures that will impact how parents raise children. A big part of these events will also focus on introducing a one-year action plan for building a relationship with your local government official.
Penninga says the tour is an opportunity for you to get informed and engaged and to do so with an efficient use of your time.
Almost everyone claims to be busy. That means that important developments in society often go on without us knowing about them or really doing anything about them. It takes less than 2 hours to attend one of our tour presentations, and in that short amount of time, you'll quickly get up to speed and equipped to make an impact for the rest of the year.
The tour stops are all during the evening, So the staff that are doing the tour are using their days to make presentations in Christian schools in most of the tour stop communities.
Our experience is that high school students are hungry to learn and are also looking for ways that they can apply their education and gifts to be a faithful witness in the public square.
We've got a link to the full fall tour itinerary up on the homepage this week. Parliament's Heritage Committee has started a round of public hearings that were mandated earlier this year with the passage of Motion 103. That motion instructed the committee to, quote, undertake a study of how the government could develop a whole-of-government approach to reducing or eliminating systemic racism and religious discrimination, including Islamophobia. ARPA lawyer John Sickham has been watching some of the hearings in Ottawa, and he says it's becoming clear that the committee is broadening the focus of its discussions beyond just the term Islamophobia. He says the motion's sponsor, MP Iker Khalid, has specifically steered away from even using the term in her testimony.
It seems like she has notably dropped the term Islamophobia in her talk. The concern seems to be with the other terms used in the motion, systemic racism and religious discrimination. They've actually asked her specifically, are you concerned with all forms of religious discrimination? And she has said, yes, absolutely. And she's deferring to experts on what kind of data is relevant for studying that.
Statistics Canada says the number of hate crimes against Muslims increased by 61% in 2015. Hate crimes against Catholics based on their religion were up by 57%. We link to the full report of statistics from the Lighthouse News homepage this week. Back with more after this.
How about taking your Bible study class on a field trip? Our fall tour theme, Who is Sovereign, looks at our Christian obligations when civil authorities make demands of us that don't line up with Scripture. Join us this fall from September 25th to October 20th. We'll have worksheets available that are intended for individual or group Bible study. This is a great way to apply Scripture and our confessions to everyday life, while also encouraging others to think about these important topics. Visit arpacanada.ca for details.
And we're back on the program. What is underlying the current turmoil over so-called sexual orientation and gender identity, especially in the education system? That was the topic of a speech given in Kelowna, B.C. late last month to a conference of online homeschool educators. The speaker was Philip Hills, the executive director of the Association of Christian Schools International. The speech was almost an hour long, and we've boiled it down to just over 6 minutes. That necessarily left a lot of material on the cutting room floor. First of all, the speech references something called the SOGI movement. SOGI stands for Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity. And in essence, the address talked about common ground that Christians can find with those struggling with these issues. The speech was entitled, The Resurrection as a Key to Understanding the SOGI Movement.
SOGI is grounded in the idea that our bodies might not be integrated with our sense of self. There can be an inherent conflict between the parts of our being leading to deep existential angst and a profound desire to find some form of an integrated identity. Everyone wants to be integrated. Everyone wants to be whole. So everyone's looking for wholeness. My desires conflict with my body function, and in order to be satisfied, I must defy my body to some degree. And we can agree, because Genesis 3 reveals that we began to disintegrate when we defied God's definition of the good life for our own. Without God, we are left with a desire for pleasure that no experience on earth can fully satisfy. So the first bit of common ground that we share with people in the SOGI movement is, I am not an integrated person. I am not a fully integrated person. There's tension between the way I see myself and the way I am. There's another one that's very profound, and that's this. I am not satisfied with my life. You know, if you're in the same-sex movement, I cannot find satisfaction in a sexual encounter that is in line with my biology. I'm not satisfied. But I want to guarantee that there isn't a person in this room who could honestly say, I'm totally satisfied with everything in my life. I would suggest that all of us, as we get older, get to a point where we realize there's still a gnawing hunger in us. And I want to suggest to you that people that self-identify as members of the SOGI movement are all people that are saying, I'm not satisfied with the traditional answers. I will never be a happy person if I have to live as a man, even though I don't feel like I'm a man. And you know what, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful as Christians to not say something that isn't true about our own lives, which is, I am totally satisfied. I'm not. I mean, I've been a Christian for years and years and years. I read the Bible. I teach the Bible. And I cannot tell you right now that I still don't kind of look in other areas that are probably not really great areas to get satisfaction. Let me give you a safe one to talk in a public place. I've had this car obsession all my life. It started when I was young and I had a lot of friends with great cars, and I didn't because I was saving up to go to Bible school. So I was really more spiritual than my friends. But secretly, I wanted a hot car. And so finally, when I got a job as a teacher, the first thing I did with my first paycheck was I went out and bought a hot car. And it's been something that's dogged me all my life. So I've recognized that as a sort of dysfunctional part of my life. And what am I looking for this summer in my spare time? A convertible. I had skin cancer. I don't need a convertible. Well, what am I doing? Why am I doing that? Because there's this hunger inside of me. And don't tell me that you're sitting there today and you don't have something. Maybe some of you can say this, and I want you to write a book because I will read it. But don't tell me that there are even some things that haven't really been that helpful in the past, but you still are drawn to them. You're still vainly hoping that maybe that thing will eventually deliver what you're looking for. You know what you're all looking for? The same thing I'm looking for. Total satisfaction. Total contentment. Total happiness. See, and Jesus over and over again says, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Now, this is very important. Jesus made it clear when he was walking on this earth, we're in the engagement time of life, and that's a tough time. Jesus is saying, I'm engaged to you right now. The marriage is coming, and it's going to be spectacular. But right now, you're just engaged to me. So you got to live like an engaged person lived back in his day. And back in his day, when you got engaged, you were treated like a married person. You actually had to get divorced in order to break up the engagement, but there was no sexual contact. In fact, there was no contact at all. In those days, the woman had to go away and get ready and be ready when the husband came. And the reason why he didn't come is because he hadn't built his house yet. An engaged man had to build a house. And when he was done, when the last brick was in place, he would come and get his bride, often in the middle of the night. And God says to us, I'm engaged to you. Like, it's permanent. It's not going to change. I'm never going to walk away from you. But you have to wait for your wedding night. So as Christians, we all have to say, we're all going to have to learn to live dissatisfied lives. And that's not a bad thing. And the only reason why you can put up with being dissatisfied is if you're convinced you're going to get what you're waiting for. Jesus promises total satisfaction. You can be unsatisfied for the rest of your life. You can live in very imperfect bodies with very imperfect people in very difficult circumstances if you know it will come to an end. The question of our age is not who am I as much as how can I find total satisfaction. Listen, the resurrection is an essential answer to today's identity question. Today's identity question is, why am I disintegrated? How can I become integrated? Why am I dissatisfied? How can I become satisfied? And here's the answer. Jesus rose from the dead. In other words, your body is broken. Your body is imperfect. Your body doesn't line up with your consciousness. There is a genuine disintegration that all of us live with. And one day it'll be over. Yes, you are longing for something that you don't have right now. And that's why increasingly our kids are willing to go way out from normative sexual practices and all that kind of stuff because they're desperate for satisfaction. Well, what if they began to believe they could be satisfied? Let me pray and then I'll be done. God, this is a big issue. It's still growing around us. We desperately do not want to come across as hateful, dismissive, dehumanizing people. We do not want to push kids away from your throne of grace. But at the same time, we don't want to present to them a lie that they can have their way of seeing themselves and Jesus at the same time. Because Jesus, you ask us to abandon everything. You say to us, though we might have been born a certain way, we must be born again. We must be reborn in a new identity that is superior to any identity the world can give us. People who are members of the family of God with promised perfect bodies in a totally satisfactory world where we will enjoy you forever. That is the hope. That is what we want to get our kids to. And so what the enemy has intended for evil, that being the destruction of souls through this confusion that is being bred about identity in the world today, may you turn it into good, an opportunity for kids to actually encounter the living God who loves them unconditionally, and then to find the most glorious identity available to people, which is beloved by God. So let that be the outcome of all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.